There are seven ACC schools, including the Miami Hurricanes, that are now exploring any possible legal avenue to leave the ACC. Here's why that's completely necessary and why the current structure of the conference is absolutely untenable.
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Alex Dono, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet, and contributor to allhurricanes.com. And thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. Thank you to the Everydayers. And I know the Everydayers all want to know what the heck is going on with the ACC. They're having their spring meetings this week at Amelia Island, and there's going to be an uncomfortable topic that's going to come up a lot this week in the fact that at least seven of the 14 member schools want out of the conference. And it wouldn't be easy because of that grant of rights agreement. But here's the latest. Brett McMurphy from Action Network tweeted this out, that Clemson, Florida State, Miami, UNC, NC State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech are the quote-unquote Magnificent Seven ACC schools. These schools, as reported by Ross Dellinger, we're going to talk about his report in a second, have met in the past several months with lawyers examining the grant of rights to determine just how unbreakable it is. The ACC TV deal runs through 2036. Now, over the years, since 2004 is when Miami became a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference, I've had several reasons to complain about the ACC. It's always felt like the ACC has treated Miami like an outsider. You know, you've never really felt like, oh, I'm so glad we're a member of the ACC. This is the best thing ever. Like, you've never felt like the ACC has treated Miami very well. But that's not really the big issue here, okay? The reason why the current structure of the ACC is setting everyone up for failure, specifically the schools that could stand to make more revenue elsewhere, right? The Magnificent Seven being the primary drivers in this. The ACC's TV deal, folks, is so bad. You couldn't have cut a worse TV deal than this, okay? Member schools of the ACC are set to earn at least $30 million per year less than members of the SEC and the Big Ten with their conference realignment, super conferences, and the super TV deals that you're signing. The revenue gap between members of the Big Ten and SEC is going to be at least $30 million per season. SEC schools are going to be receiving $72 million per cycle. That's per, you know, full school year, all seasons for all sports. Big Ten schools, $80 million. ACC schools receive a total payout of $42 million per year. This is per Cane Sport, with about $36 million coming from the conference's television deal with ESPN. So, guys, when you're talking about trying to compete at the highest level of college football, right, the opportunity that, and obviously Clemson has been there in the recent past, Florida State is trying to get back there, Miami is obviously trying to get back there as teams that are competing for college football playoffs and championships. How do you expect to make that a reality when your institutions, just by the awful TV deal that you're in, are set to be earning at least $30 million less per season from your TV deals compared to the SEC and the Big Ten schools? That's a gap that's going to become a Grand Canyon, okay? And if you think it's already tough to consistently compete with the likes of the SEC, and now the Big Ten is becoming a monster with their new deal with Fox and with USC and UCLA entering that conference, if you think that there's already a gap between the SEC and soon the Big Ten and the rest of the pack, it's only going to get wider, that gap, that canyon, once these TV deals kick in. And the reason why I say this ACC TV deal is so bad is you're locked into it through 2036. I'm only laughing because it's either laughing or crying. Those are my only two options. And I don't really want to cry in front of you guys. Okay. I'm too manly for that, right? Says the guy who cried at the end of Toy Story 3. But that's another story for another time. So according to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, these are the three options of for the ACC and for these Magnificent Seven that want to leave. So the ACC can, option number one, try to seek additional revenue from ESPN. You know, that current deal that they're locked in for 13 more years. Good luck renegotiating that when ESPN is laying off employees left and right. They're not doing great financially. They're also negotiating right now with the UFC and WWE, which are under the same ownership now. They're renegotiating the NBA and the Pac-12. And so, yeah, the idea of the ACC just saying, hey, ESPN, I know that we're locked into this terrible TV deal through 2036 and it's ironclad on your side, but do you want to just renegotiate just to throw us a solid? Like, do you just want to do us a favor? Just give us more money, even though you don't have to. That seems like a difficult sell, okay? So option number two for the Magnificent Seven would be to secede from the league. Some of the schools, Dellinger writes, possibly the most frustrated lot, such as Florida State and Clemson, could pay the $120 million exit fee and hope they can break the grant of rights agreement that most attorneys, though maybe not their own, say is airtight. That then leaves a very big question. Where do they go? The SEC and Big Ten seem quite comfortable with their current membership, but potential Western realignment could trigger them to expand more. And one of the members of my subtext community brought up a good point to me. And by the way, you can subscribe to our exclusive SMS chat community through subtext. I'm including the link in the show description below. He told me, like, hey, you know, the idea of Miami joining the SEC or the Big Ten, that sounds awesome. But do they really want to add more schools? Because that then dilutes their revenue. Then the schools that are already in there have to agree to give up some of their revenue for other schools to join. That's a great point. Now, the only thing I would say is, unlike the terrible ACC TV deal, which runs for 13 more years, the SEC and the Big Ten both have shorter term TV deals that can be renegotiated. So they might even be able to squeeze the TV companies for more money. The ACC can't really do that. So then option number three, and this, you know, this, I don't know, this might end up being a thing. Option number three would be for the schools to break off and then create another league. Right. If the seven agree to dissolve the current grant of rights agreement, and he adds, we don't know yet if this is a possibility, they may add a couple of more schools to begin their own association in hopes of being more lucrative. This comes with its own issues. Of course, you'd need a broadcast partner or private equity to fund such an endeavor. And as one official asks, will it really be that much more lucrative? You know, I think that if you were to do that, the advantage you would have would be, at least you can then renegotiate your own deal because you've essentially killed the ACC. The ACC is dead and buried. So you're out of the awful TV contract. You can renegotiate a new one. So I don't know, that might end up being maybe the most likely avenue if they're able to get out of the ACC. Because again, joining one of these other pre-existing super conferences, you got them, you need them to then agree to pay out a little bit less money. So all I know is the idea of, you know, the Clemsons and the Florida States and the Miamis of the world going through the next 13 years, earning at least $30 million per season less than SEC and Big Ten schools. It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. So hopefully something can be figured out in these spring meetings. Now, we got a lot still to come on this episode of Locked On Canes. We're only getting started, man. So more feedback from that unbelievable weekend of unofficial visits this past week for the class of 2024. Miami had 5 stars and 4 stars on campus. They had a pool party that got rival fans all angry. You're not allowed to do that. Yeah, you are. Sorry, Florida State fans. So some feedback on which of those prospects are highest on the Miami Hurricanes coming out of that unofficial week. Plus, we are opening up this episode to Q&A. You can ask us questions in our subtext community, or you can ask us questions on Twitter. You can follow the show at Locked On Canes. And if you follow us, we will follow you back. Keep it locked right here to Locked On Canes. If you're looking for a delicious snack, but you don't want all the sugar and calories, you need the best tasting protein bar ever built. You got to try this. If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise on taste, I've got just the thing for you. Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and taste amazing. They taste so amazing, you're not going to think that they're good for you, but you got to try this. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real dark chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, cookies, and cream. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. Only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built bars at Built.com. Now you can also get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club, and you can still get specialty flavors at Built.com. Head to your nearest Walmart today. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like Brownie Batter Puff and Churro Puff. You can thank me later because I love me some Built bars. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. For the everydayers, we're going to be having later this week, I think tomorrow, Brad Tejeda is going to join us to talk recruiting. Folks, we are confirmed later this week, Judd Anderson, Judd the ambassador, class of 2024, Miami Hurricanes committed quarterback, is going to join us later this week. And another Miami Hurricanes committed quarterback, Max Lawrence, is going to chat with us later this week. So this is like quarterback week on the. I got to reach out to Ken Dorsey or something to see if he might be a little bit busy with the Bills OTAs and stuff right now. But, you know, we may have to get some more quarterbacks on today or on this week, I should say. Okay, so let me get into some of you guys' questions. And again, if you want to join our exclusive SMS community through Subtext, completely free for the first 14 days. And then if you want to opt in, $4.99 a month, I include the link in the show description below. Actually, before we get to questions, I got a little recruiting feedback for you guys, because I asked one of my recruiting go-tos for some extra feedback on all those unofficial visits that Miami had over the weekend. And he told me he thought Hayward, Knight, and Odom seemed to be the most pro Miami, along with Jaden Jackson, after the visits. And he also feels that Miami made up some serious ground with five-star edge Dylan Stewart, who we talked about a lot yesterday, and they continued to chop wood for David Stone. Boy, I would love to have both of those guys. You talk about bringing amazing defensive line play back to Miami. Miami's already on their way with the edge rushers, right? I mean, Jaden Wayne, Reuben Bain, Collins Achiampong, who they've added, Nigelie Kelly's a stud. The list goes on and on and on. But, man, if you could bring in Dylan Stewart, who might be a top two or three player in the class, period, and David Stone, who I feel is the top defensive tackle in the class. Miami is also trending with Justin Scott, who's another top defensive tackle. Like, you could turn Miami's line of scrimmage into just like a horror movie. Like, they're coming at you like zombies and they just don't stop. Like, man, I would love something like that. All right, so let's talk about some of these players that we're believing Miami is trending strongly with after this weekend. Jalen Hayward, let's start with him. He's a Georgia commit, but Miami's trying to flip him. He's a four-star safety that can also play cornerback. So he's a tremendous player with great versatility. And I know, I mean, probably any coach likes, I was going to say Miami's coaches love versatile players. I mean, whose coaches don't like versatile players? But I know that that's a big thing for Lance Guidry with his defensive backs. He likes guys who can play multiple positions. 6 foot tall, 180 pounds out of Rockledge, Florida. So again, Jalen Hayward is a Georgia commit that Miami is trying to chip away. They're trying to, you know, gain a little bit of ground on Georgia. Another one that was mentioned there as really liking Miami, we knew this, Caleb Odom. He's a show favorite. 6'5" tight end out of Carrollton, Georgia. Best catch radius in the business. This guy can become a game changer. Caleb Odom, you know, he primarily plays lines up wide at his high school, but, you know, he's going to be converted to a receiving tight end in college. We'll see if he plays more of that in his senior season of high school coming up. But this guy's going to be a game changer. And we talked about him with Brian Smith yesterday, and he noted Ole Miss appears to be Miami's primary competition for him. So it looks like a Miami versus Ole Miss battle right now. And Odom, he just visited Miami, and Miami's going to return the favor. They're going to watch his high school spring game this week. So that's good. Another player who was mentioned there in really liking Miami, Ricky Knight III. And I've already dropped the Dono ball for Ricky Knight. So Any time now, Ricky, anytime you want to make me sound smart and you want to commit to Miami, I'd love it. I'd love to have this guy as a Cane. He's a 4-star or a 3-star, depending on which recruiting service you look at, but he's a 4-star type of guy. He's listed as an athlete out of the Benjamin School in Palm Beach. He plays both ways in high school, wide receiver and cornerback. Miami's recruiting him as a defensive back. Jameel Adai is his primary recruiter there. So Ricky Knight is high on Miami, and we are high on Ricky Knight. We love this guy. And then another one mentioned there, Jaden Jackson. Jaden Jackson is quickly becoming one of my favorite players in this class. 6'2", 300-pound, nasty defensive lineman from IMG Academy. Now, he's a 3-star, but this is another guy who's probably going to earn a 4th star at some point. If you just go by what schools are after him, right? Seems like a 4-star to me, okay? Because he's also, in addition to Miami, he's got Florida, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Texas, among others, are heavily going after this young man. So, you know, you can call him a 3-star if you want to, but he's got, you know, 4-star type of offers out there. He isn't the flashiest defensive tackle on Miami's board when we talk about guys like Scott and Stone, but I would love to see Jaden Jackson become part of a big defensive tackle class in Miami if we can land some of those other guys as well. And, you know, Jaden Jackson and David Stone are teammates at IMG. And I also, in addition to the names I threw out there, I also saw this note that Gabby Arudia passed along at Inside the U on Chaminade safety Zaquan Patterson, who Miami likes him, and I think the feeling is mutual. He said, Gabby said, Miami also feels good about the progress made with Zaquan Patterson. I believe the Hurricanes will have a staffer at Chaminade Madonna today. I think that might have been yesterday to see him again. So I kind of like that, how players come visit Miami, and then Miami's going to come out and visit these players at their high school as well. A little, what do we call that in Silence of the Lambs? Quid pro quo, Dr. Lecter. Yeah, we're getting a little bit of that, and I love it. All right, let's get to some questions here. Question from Main Cane 26. He says, hey, Alex, who would you like to see Miami add as a non-conference opponent in the near future? Well, assuming we don't join the conference that they're in, or they don't join one that we're in or whatever, I mean, just because of the Mario Cristobal factor, I'd love to put Oregon on the schedule for a home and home. Wouldn't that be fun? Another one would be because, you know, we never play these guys, and they're kind of like parallels on either coast. Right? I'd like USC to be on the schedule. I'd love to play a non-conference with them. These are schools you don't play very often. But Oregon for me would probably be at the top of the list because I would just love – I would love getting into it with Oregon fans during the week because, like, they're so bitter about Cristobal leaving there. Like, they all – I know there's going to be some Oregon fans who turn up in our comments today, so welcome. I'm just glad you're watching and clicking, but I think it'd be a lot of fun. Like, the trash talk between the fan bases leading up to Miami versus Oregon, who wouldn't want that? That would be so much fun. We get a question from Mike. Mike says, hey, Dono, do you know whatever happened with Wiggins, Amari Wiggins, the guard that visited a couple of weeks ago? I believe it's crucial Miami gets another decent backup in case either one of our starting guards gets injured. I thought the backups didn't play very well at the spring game. I definitely agree, Mike. Miami has, you know, two of the better starting guards in the ACC. But if Inez Cooper and Javion Cohen need to miss any time, the depth is what it is. As far as I can tell with Amari Wiggins, it looks like he's still going through the process. He received a recent offer like yesterday from Penn State. He was recently offered by Arkansas. I know he likes Miami, but I think he's really going through the process here. And I also, I think this is something I read about Wiggins. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember hearing something that Miami might actually be wanting to get him committed for 2024. Not 2023. So I don't know if that's still a condition with him. You know, he's coming out of JUCO. So there may be, I don't know, some complications with the transcripts or the transfer process. I'm not sure there, but this is still a player I would like to have because I agree with what Mike said. We could use a little bit more, just more quality depth on that offensive line. Although I do think the O-line is going to be a lot better than it was last year. Wow. So on the other side, we apparently got a question from Larry Coker. I'm assuming this is probably not the real Larry Coker, but if the real Larry Coker is paying $4.99 a month to be a member of my subtext, I am honored. I am honored, Coach. We did get a question from someone claiming to be Larry Coker. We got a question if I'm going to drop any Dono balls today. And we got a question about the phase of the offseason program. So we got a lot more to cover here. Keep it locked to Locked On Canes. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. We are part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And this network is awesome, man. These guys treat me so well. Okay, so we get a question here from Al. That's our buddy Al, who loves Built Bars. He says, Dono, what other prospects are we looking at currently? Any Dono balls or crystal balls out there? Well, we talked about Ricky Knight the third. There is a crystal ball and a Dono ball out for him, because I do think 24/7 has a crystal ball, and I dropped the Dono ball for him as well. Another one I think is a candidate that could be maybe the next verbal commit to come in is offensive lineman. We talk about, you know, needing more guards. Interior offensive lineman Joseph Iannata from, I think he's from, is he from Clearwater? Somewhere out in the Tampa area. He could end up being one that drops to Miami as well. So those are probably two players out there that I could see likely being next commits or next prospects. And outside of that, as far as guys Miami's looking at, I mean, we talked about the 4 and 5 stars that just visited. A lot of these players, a lot of like the blue chippers, are probably not going to be announcing until July at the very earliest. But Miami is in play for a lot of the top players in the class. There's no question about that. We get a question from Larry Coker, apparently. He says, hey, I think last year's loss on national TV primetime against a beatable Texas A&M team was the beginning of the downward spiral last year. Do you think this year's game against the Aggies can be the springboard to a season where we exceed expectations? I agree on both counts. You know, obviously the one that was rock bottom was Middle Tennessee. That was one of the most embarrassing losses in program history. But maybe if Miami had beaten Texas A&M, the Middle Tennessee thing doesn't even happen. Texas A&M, you got them at home this year, week 2. And, you know, you play not a great Miami of Ohio team week 1. So Texas A&M, that's going to be the measuring stick, right? I mean, I know TAMU obviously had their issues last year. They had a bad season, but it's a super talented football team. I mean, Texas A&M is loaded with talent. So, you know, if Miami looks good against them and beats them at home this year, you're going to have an idea that like Miami's for real and they have a chance to use that springboard. It's a good way to put it. So I completely agree. You know, if you beat Texas A&M week 2, super talented SEC opponent, that could be a springboard to a much improved season this coming year. It's, you know, Larry Coker. That's probably why this guy won a national championship here. That was a very good question. You were very smart, sir. Get a question from Maine Kane, who says, I'm curious, what is the next stage of the offseason, and what are some things coach is going to emphasize to help bring the team to its next phase? Well, we've got it's in progress now, started on Monday, the Summer A session. So most of the football players are enrolled in Summer A, so they are able to do their offseason workouts, conditioning programs. I'm sure Tyler Van Dyke is having a lot of throwing sessions with his wide receivers, and these guys are working out together as much as they can. And then in probably last week of July, first week of August, probably late July is when fall camp is going to begin. But as you guys know, covering college football, I mean, anybody who listens to this show is probably pretty dialed in. There's not really, as far as strength and conditioning goes, there's not really an off season for these guys. So they're working really, really hard with those team activities and workouts. Coach Feld, the mustache man in that weight room, it's really his show for the next couple of months. He's got to keep these guys together and keep them training hard. We get a question from Big Canes Fan. That's his name, Big Canes Fan. I like it. Are you actually big, like large, or you just really, really like the Canes? So you're figuratively a big Canes fan. You don't have to answer that if you don't want to. He says, I know that there were issues with the buy-in from players last year, hence the play in the Middle Tennessee game and after that. Do you have any fears that we will have the same issues this year? Far less fears, because I think a lot of the players that didn't buy in, they left. Transfer portal, over 20 guys left in the transfer portal. And, you know, Mario Cristobal probably a little bit nicer about nudging players out than Deion Sanders. Like Deion Sanders is just like, hey, you're cut. Like, and then like, wait, you can cut me and cut. Yes, I'm cutting. I think Mario Cristobal is a little bit more diplomatic about it, but I think the players who, you know, weren't really buying in and the coaches weren't buying in on some of these players, I think most of those guys saw the door and they exited. And also, you know, a lot of that has to come within the locker room. And Cam Kitchens, who I have so much respect for, he made that speech at the end of the season that, hey, you don't want to be here, portal, get out of here. We want guys who are buying in. And so, okay, you've got a lot less, like 20-some fewer guys who don't buy in on the roster this year. And then in terms of the new recruits and transfers who come in, you know, these were guys who were specifically recruited by this staff and this head coach, so they know what they're in for, okay? You know, you and I'm not call all the guys who left are not necessarily bad players. Like, some of these players who left in the transfer portal might go on to great things in other places. I wish them the best of luck, okay? A lot of them are on SMU now. I wish them the best of luck, but sometimes it's just not a fit, okay? And a lot of these guys, they committed to play for Manny Diaz and for specific assistant coaches of his. All those people are gone now. So now there's still a few of those carryovers left, but most of the players who are here now are guys who were handpicked by Cristobal and his assistants. And, you know, they know what they're in for. So I'm much less worried about the players buying in. Now, the only thing that would worry me is how are these guys going to handle adversity? Okay. Because God forbid, if you do lose to Texas A&M, or, you know, you suffer tough losses like you did last year, because last year, not only did Miami lose some games, but they were humiliated in some of their games. Florida State, I don't want to relive some of those memories we had last year. If you suffer, God forbid, any losses like that, how do you respond from it? How do you respond from that adversity? Because they didn't respond very well from that last year. That's something we're going to figure out. We're going to figure out what this team is made of this year, okay? All right, guys. I had a great time. Thank you for adjusting your schedule a little bit. Had to put this one out a little bit early because I am going to be, and by the time some of you hear this, I may already be finished with this, but I am going to be speaking today at Miami-Dade College. I thank them so much for apparently they think I might have some wisdom to impart on them. They're sadly mistaken, but I appreciate Miami-Dade College inviting me to speak today. So if you happen to be listening to this before around 11 a.m., you can stream it live on Instagram. I'm going to try to put the link out there on my social media. Otherwise, you can watch it later on YouTube. And I'm going to be wearing a suit, so you're going to see fancy Dono today. So we will talk to you guys again next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.